Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's good to see everybody here this morning.
It's good to still be able to see.
Yes, it is. And we're glad you can. I'd like to welcome those of you who might be listening or watching the program on Facebook this morning. Welcome to Lexington Christian Church. And we hope you get as much out of the worship as we do here. I don't believe we have any announcements to amount to anything. Oh, the Historical Society will not be meeting, well, until further notice, actually. So that's something we won't be doing for a while. Do we have any birthdays this morning? Jim? Wayne? John? Anybody else? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Anniversaries. Nobody celebrating? Okay. Let's see, where is this, August or September?
August.
Okay, we've still got a month.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Awesome. So, Mitch, do you have anything else in the way of announcements?
Just that we will be having Bible study tonight.
We'll be having Bible study tonight, 5:00. Okay. Then let's praise the Lord, sing His praises this morning. Number 35. We will glorify the King of Kings. Let's stand and sing.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Amen. And number 410, cleanse me, O Lord, and know my heart today.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some way. Fulfill Thy word and make me pure. great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. Oh, Holy Spirit, revival comes from Thee. Send a revive, start the work in me. Thy word declares, Thou wilt supply our need. For blessing now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
Amen. Brother Mitch, will you take us to the Lord in prayer, please?
Sure. Our Father in God, thank you that you are here with us this morning. Your word is clear. Where two or more gathered together, there I am in the midst. So, Lord, we thank you that we have these precious promises. And, Lord, we ask that you do start a revival here right now. Rekindle the fires in our hearts. Lord, where we did once burn with the shame of our sin, now replaced with the love of God, and we need that fire to burn within us. Lord, even the two that walked on the road to Emmaus, as you were revealed to them, they said to their brethren later, didn't our hearts burn within us as he revealed his self and his word to us? So, Lord, this morning, set this place ablaze with your spirit. Move us closer to you and bless us that we can be a blessing to all those around us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. As we prepare our hearts for the communion service this morning, let's turn to number 119. They'll know we are Christians by our love. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise.
praise to the Father from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Amen. Amen. Brother Phil, you have a meditation this morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
And good morning, people home. We talk a lot about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I could ever do that. My son, give him up, have him persecuted, beaten, whipped, tortured, have him carry a 100-pound cross on his back for miles and miles and miles and miles. I mean, God gave his greatest love ever, his son, to die for us and for us have everlasting life. But before Jesus was persecuted, tortured, and killed, he also said one thing. He said in Luke 23:34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They did not know what he was doing because the Roman priest had their minds all twisted and everything else. And, of course, the devil was scheming against them back then. But, like I said, they thought Jesus was not the God, the one and only Son. So, like I said, when we give thanks, we should give, like I said, remind ourselves what we are given to be thankful for.
Amen.
That he died for us on the cross. Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come together in union with thee, that we can spend this time meditating on what you have done for us in thanksgiving. We ask your blessing upon these emblems, Lord, that they may continue to remind us what you have done for us.
Yes.
It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
When Jesus and his disciples were gathered in the upper room for the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and broke it, blessed it, passed it among them, saying, This is my body broken for you. Eat ye of it. And after they had eaten, he took the cup, and giving thanks, passed it among them, saying, This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for the remission of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again. Drink of it, all of you. Amen. Let's turn to number 539 for our next praise hymn. I'll go where you want me to go.
Amen.
Whoops, sorry about that. Number 539, Where He Leads Me. Same page on the book.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I'll go with with him all the way. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him all the way. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him all the way. And glory, he will give me grace and glory. He will give and go with me all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. With him all the way.
Amen. Brother Wayne Morris has a special for us this morning.
Tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness when we shall join that happy band. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. No tears in heaven will be known. Glory is waiting, waiting up yonder, where we shall spend an endless day. There with our Savior we'll be forever, where no more sorrows can dismay. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Some morning yonder we'll cease to ponder o'er things this life has brought to view. All will be clearer, save once be dearer, in heaven where all will be made new. No tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known.
Thank you.
Which defiles. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, Why did your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They did not wash their hands because before they eat. Jesus replied, And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your traditions? For God said, Honor your mother and father. And anyone else who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus, you will nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he
prophesied
about you. This, the people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching was merely human rules. Jesus called to the crowd to him and said, Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them. But that comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. Then the disciples came to him and asked, Do you know that the prophecies were often offended when they heard this? He replied, Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leaving them, they are blinded guides. If the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the pit. Peter said, Explain the parable to us. Are you still so dull? Jesus asked them. Do not you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out the body? But the things that come from a person's mouth comes from their heart, and those defile them. For out of their hearts come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Oh, God is good. All the time. Amen. Well, as we continue on in our study here in the book of Matthew, chapter 15 here, as we move on, it says, Then some Pharisees. So this is after Jesus had fed the 5,000, and then he walked on the water, they came to the country across the water. And so all these people had been healed, and Of course, you know, when these miraculous healings take place, as you can imagine, it just automatically, like a magnet to metal, draws all the crowds in. People start coming and bringing all of their sick. And if you're sick yourself, you're going to go, right? I mean, if you find out, if you hear that everybody who goes to this person or this place and they're touched by the hand of the Lord, they're healed, you're most likely going to go there. If you have some kind of sickness that is something that is bothers you terribly, you want to be healed of that. And so you will be drawn into that. And this crowd is still there, but among them comes the Pharisees, who are one of the leading factions of the day, spiritual leaders as well as political leaders of the Jewish nation. And they are the rabbis, and in some sentences they may be called the rabbis' rabbis, because they're the ones who set the laws and interpret the laws that God gave to them. However, as we can see, that some of the things that they interpret is not necessarily accurate according to what God originally intended. We see that it starts off with them, the Pharisees, asking Jesus. Now, they didn't accuse Jesus of not washing his hands. They accused his disciples. So they're trying to give a little respect to Jesus as a fellow rabbi here. But why didn't your followers, why didn't your disciples wash their hands before they ate? Well, this was a law that was given way back in Leviticus and Exodus. This was when the nation Israel had been in slavery for several generations. And I don't know if you've ever really thought about it, but if you stop to think about what happens to people who are caged up like animals, beat like animals, and treated like animals, they become somewhat like animals. You know, it's sad, but there have actually been studies that have been done over history where they cage children and did these kinds of things to them and found out how that turned out. Wasn't good. So these people, this entire nation of people, generation after generation, they had forgotten about God. They had forgotten about all the laws, all the teachings. They were just surviving. And happy to be surviving. Happy to have food given. Happy to have an opportunity to just continue on, because we had cruel taskmasters over us who would just as soon kill us as to look at us. And so these people, after all of these years of degeneration as human beings, all of a sudden God comes and sets them free. All of a sudden they begin to turn their hearts and their minds back towards God. But they have lost all concept of civility. The human civility. Washing of hands. Cleansing themselves properly. You know, all of those things had gone by the wayside, because they didn't have the option necessarily to do all these things. And so as the nation Israel's being led out, then God gives them these instructions so that they learn that, yes, it's good to wash your hands before you eat. Now, they turned that, what was meant for a physical thing to help them to maintain cleanness and keep from spreading diseases, they turned it into a ceremonial washing, which then what they're saying here in our text today is, oh, your disciples, Jesus, are committing a grievous sin because they did not wash their hands before they ate. Now, I don't know about you, but I have washed my, I have forgotten to wash my hands before I ate before. Have you? I mean, come on, let's be honest. There's been times when we just, You know, you've been out doing stuff. You come in and you're hungry. Your food's ready, and you sit down and you eat. Unless, you know, you got somebody else there that says, "Hey, go wash your hands." I don't have that somebody else there to do that, because a little bit don't tell me to wash my hands. I have forgotten, and it didn't kill me, okay? Didn't even make me sick. So Jesus is correcting their false teaching, their false interpretation. But instead of just addressing that head on, like many of the rabbis of the day, he answered a question with a question. Okay, you've insulted me and my people, so now I'm going to point out your failure. And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say if they declare the law of Korban, the law of I devote this now to God. Now, folks, let me explain this so that we can understand what they say. They're saying, my land, my property, all of my money, everything that I own, I now dedicate to God. Now, what that means is, I can use this for as long as I live for my own benefit, but I can't give it to anybody else because I've already given it to God. So, if my neighbor's starving to death, sorry, can't help you. If my mom and dad's starving to death, sorry, can't help you. This is not mine to give anymore. It's God's. I can use it for myself however I wish, but I can't use it for you. Sorry. So that was the law that they created. Now, God never created that law. God never gave them that law. That's man's idea. And some religious denominations still practice this, some form. You can donate your home, your property, everything to the church. You don't have to pay taxes on it. You don't have to do anything to it. Just live there and enjoy it. And when you die, it goes to the church. Now, that benefits the church. I will say that. But I'm not sure that it benefits others all that much. So God is saying, why do you do that? Can't you see how wrong that is? To even deny your own parents who gave you life, who supported you and took care of you when you were unable to take care of yourself. Now, if they find themselves in a situation where they can no longer take care of themselves, you say, sorry, can't help you. Can you say nursing home? there's times when nursing homes are appropriate. But I know a lot of families, just as soon as the parents start getting old, they're like, we're going to stick you in a nursing home. We're not going to fool with you anymore. We're not going to be bothered by you anymore. We're done. You just go live there, be happy. When you're lucky, we'll come see you. Folks, I've done nursing home ministries enough to know that happens a lot. There was a lady that was 100 years old. She celebrated her 100th birthday alone. None of her children came. Every weekend she told me, my son's coming to see me today. My son's coming to see. He's a very important man. He works hard. He's head of some big company. And so he doesn't get out much, but he's coming to see me. The whole time for 3 years, the son came one time before she died. That's sad. But that's kind of the same attitude that Jesus is talking about. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He continues on and he says, thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Now, isn't it sad that sometimes even in a church that is sincere in its worship of God, if we're not careful... we get more caught up in our own traditions
than what God really says and wants. We have to be careful of that, folks. We have to be careful. That's exactly what Jesus is chastising these Pharisees for. You're more caught up. You have more faith in your own tradition. You're more willing to do what you think is right rather than what God says is right. And we have to be careful that we in our personal lives, we as a church, don't get to the point to where if I think it's right, it's right. Instead of, does God say it's right? And if he says it's right, then it's right. If he says it's wrong, then it's wrong. Period. End of discussion. God said it. That makes it so. Then he went on to call them hypocrites. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I wonder how many of us would be honest to say we've been there. We honestly would talk about Jesus. He's wonderful. He's great. But don't ask me to do anything, Lord. I don't have time. Sorry, I'm too busy taking care of my family. I'm too busy with this. I'm too busy with that. Go to where? Africa. No, I ain't going to do that. No way. Those people eat people. I ain't going there. I mean, come on. We've all had times when we can honestly say that this description that Jesus gave, and he was quoting an Old Testament prophet, and we can say it still suits us sometimes in our lives. And isn't that sad that we can honestly look and say, well, yeah, you know, I love Jesus, but, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I can worship Jesus anywhere. Yeah, you can. I had guys tell me, I can go hunting out in the woods. I can go fishing out in a boat. And I can worship Jesus there. Yes, you can. Did you? Yeah, see, that's why it's important to come together. We don't forget. We don't forget to worship Jesus when we're in his house and we're all together for that purpose. But when we stay home and we go someplace else, we might forget. We might even stay in bed instead. But after he says this, Jesus called the crowd to him. Now, you know, you stop and visualize what's going on here. And these leaders, religious leaders, just got chewed out in front of the crowd by Jesus. And they're not very happy about it, probably. And most likely, they turned their backs on Jesus and walked away. And that's why he called the crowds. Okay, you're done talking to me. You got your point, but you didn't accept it. So now I'm going to talk to the crowd. Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. Now, in the original language here, some Bibles talk about, some versions about unclean, making them unclean. The word defile there in the original language is porneia. That's where we get pornography from, that word, porneia. Now, basically what that means, I mean, automatically we always think of the sexual lust and sexual things that are involved with that. But it's not just sex. It's anything that is something that is pure satisfaction for the flesh. That's all it is. It's pure satisfaction for the flesh. For me, it can be overeating. You know, for some people, it can be shopping. You know, materialism, power, possession, whatever. There's many things that when we get caught up in that instead of worshiping God, instead of getting our satisfaction, our feeling of peace should not come from buying new things. Our feeling of goodness should not come from what we do. It should come from who we are in Christ.
And that alone should define who we are and our happiness. Not happiness, but our joy. Because happiness is all around what happens. But joy comes from the Lord. From being filled with the Holy Spirit. From loving God and letting God love others through us. You know, I can say for sure that there was a time in my life when I was defined by what I did. In other words, my work. I moved up the ladder at work until I was in a supervisory position, and I thought that I was really doing something. I was really going someplace. And then one day my eyes got bad and they said, "See you later." Yeah, real important, wasn't I? I was one of the big cogs in a little bitty wheel, you know. It means nothing. So, let's just say, if all of our worth, all of our value comes from what we do, what happens when we can't do it anymore? If all of our worth comes from what we own, what happens when a tornado comes through and wipes it all out? If all of our worth comes from the money that we can acquire, what happens when the stock market crashes or somebody robs the bank and takes it all? Or the economy collapses totally? Then what do we have left? Nothing. But if our faith is truly in Jesus Christ where it belongs, no one can ever take Christ from us. No one. Nothing. We can surrender. We can give him up. But no one can take Christ from you. No one. He's the only thing that we can hold on to. That as the Bible says, there will come a time when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And we're going through that time right now, folks. We're going through that time. Everything that can be shaken. I mean, literally and physically, the world is being shaken by all of the earthquakes, by all of the tsunamis, by all of the stuff that's going on in the world today. But also then, our economic system has collapsed, not just in America, but globally. Globally. Many things, you know, there for a while. We couldn't go to church. Some people still aren't going. You couldn't go to ball games. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. Everything that could be shaken was being shaken. But what can't be shaken? Your faith in Jesus Christ. If you live and hold on to that solid rock, nothing can pull the rug out from under you. Nothing. So we hold on to Jesus Christ because he is our anchor, our rock. And that's what he's trying to get across here. When we bring him into our mind, into our heart, then what comes out of our heart is not just the things of the flesh. We don't relish standing around the time clock telling dirty jokes. We don't relish sharing secrets about other people and gossiping about things that we really may not understand all of it. But we think we do, and so we share it with others. Oh, don't tell so-and-so, but don't say anything, but I'm not supposed to tell you. Well, then don't! I don't want to hear it. If someone tells you something in confidence, keep it in confidence. Don't share it. Because if you do, you're defiling yourself because you're sharing from your mouth what is in your heart. You know, I say this a lot, and I'm going to say it again because it applies right here. We always tell on ourselves. We always tell on ourselves. What comes out of the mouth is what's in the heart. And I'll tell you, folks, I've heard some things out of some mouths of some people that come to this church that have just literally floored me before. I'm like, did they really just say that? And Jesus warns us right here, be careful. Be careful, not about what you're eating and about not washing your hands, but be careful about what's in your heart. What you truly believe, what you truly hold on to, because that's what comes out of your mouth. I mean, there may be times when we control our mouths when we're in a crowd of Christians. We may put on a show and we may be happy here and we may talk about the Lord and all that. But the moment we go home, all that begins to fade. And then pretty soon we're back to our old selves and not all that happy and not that much joy. And maybe even say some bad words and different things, you know. I don't think God gets all that mad about us saying bad words unless we're using them as a way to hurt somebody else. Now, I know everybody has different opinions about that, but that's mine for what it's worth. You know, then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" I can hear Jesus thinking, at least, "Do you know I don't care?" That was kind of the whole point. They're supposed to be offended. You know, I shared this before. An old-time preacher one time told me that my job as a preacher is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. And I thought, that pretty much covers it. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's afflicting those who are too comfortable in their false beliefs and trying to correct what they believe. You know, some truths, when they're told, they hurt. There are always people who get hurt, especially today when we say homosexuality is a sin. There are people that just, "You can't say that." Yeah, I can, because God said it. It's the truth. And there's many other such things. Don't live together. Don't have sex outside of marriage. You know, all these different things that people get so uptight about. Why? Because they're guilty. And they're convicted by it. That's why it bothers them. But if you don't tell them the truth, what's the alternative? They go through life thinking, "I'm going to heaven, because nobody ever told me any different." Wouldn't you hate on Judgment Day to stand face to face with someone you know well, maybe even a family member, and for them to say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" Then I could be over there in that line that you're in, going to paradise instead of burning in flames for all eternity. Why didn't you tell me? Think about that, folks. That's pretty harsh. So it's important that the truth is told, no matter how much it may offend somebody. There may be some nicer ways to say some things, but the bottom line is, if it's not the truth and it's watered down, it's worthless. It's worthless. Jesus replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots." You remember earlier when we talked about the farmer that was planting, and all of a sudden tares come up with the crop, the good crop, and they said, "Should we go ahead and take the tares?" No, wait till the judgment comes and then we'll separate them. So this is what he's saying here, the same thing. This goes right along with that parable. He said they'll be pulled up by the roots. Leave them, they are blind guides. You know, there's another verse of scripture that tells us that the devil blinds people to the truth. That may not be the exact words that's used in the Bible, but that's the context. He blinds worldly people to the truth. In other words, if we don't want to know the truth, the devil will help us to keep thinking what we want to believe. Amen. Amen. If the blind lead the blind, in other words, if false teachers are the ones that's leading the other false believers, both will fall into the pit. In other words, they're all going to hell, folks. If false teachers are leading people into a false belief, they're all headed to hell. Because why? They have not heard the truth. You think the truth is not important? And then Peter says, "Explain the parable to us." And Jesus says, "Are you still so dull? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. And these, porneia, defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what porneia a person, what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. They started out with a question about why do your disciples not wash their hands? And he ends by explaining, finally, that's not a form of defilement, folks. And tells the truth in between what actually does defile us, what actually does. And so, you know, we've heard it and we've said it many times, garbage in, garbage out. We have to be careful what goes into our mind, what goes into our heart. If we hang around people who every word or every other word is a curse word, guess what you're going to be saying? Sooner or later, if you hang around with some people who curse all the time, it's going to come out of your mouth. It just naturally happens, folks. Just naturally happens. You say, oh, no, no, that would never happen to me. Well, that's what I thought too. And trust me, it happens. You just get so wrapped up in hearing it every minute of every day, and pretty soon that's what's thought coming into your mind. Well, that thing. You know, the attitude of the people around us affects our attitude. The beliefs of the people around us affect our beliefs. We have to be conscious of all the things. And the worst thing of all is watching television. Because many false doctrines are being taught through comedy, through children's cartoons. We have to be on top of that, folks. We have to make sure that they're not saying this God or that goddess is teaching our children. We have to be careful that they're not teaching our children through the videos they watch that, you know, it's okay to be transgender. It's okay if you're a he and want to be a she, or a she and want to be a he. All of this garbage is going on right now, folks. If you're not aware of that, you should be. And we need to watch out for our children and grandchildren and make sure they're not learning all of this false garbage through what's supposed to be innocent entertainment. And many of the movies we watch are just filled, riddled with false doctrines from false teachings, false belief systems. Movie after movie that have kung fu and all this karate stuff, they're trying to teach you about Buddha. They're trying to teach you all of this mind control stuff. We have to be careful, folks. It's one thing if you watch something and you're aware of the false teachings. And you can see it, you can point it out, and you can reject it. It's another thing if you're not aware. And you're just soaking it up thinking, well, it don't matter, it's just a show. Well, those shows affect us over time, just like anything else. So the most important thing to put in our mind and our heart is, what is it?
God's Word.
God's Word, amen. So that's what we need to spend our time with. Not even the news. Even the news is not believable anymore. I mean, you just have to take it with a grain of salt, because often it's more opinion than fact. But this is all facts. This is all truth, only truth, always the only truth. If you have a need this morning, just mind the Lord. Come as we sing. Brother Bob.
Our invitation hymn this morning is number 368. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let's stand and sing.
Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want you forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, look down from your throne in the skies and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at your crucified feet. Thy faith for my cleansing, I see your blood flow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, you see that I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. You thought you have sought you, you never said no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Amen. Amen. Brother Mitch, would you dismiss us, please?
I can do
that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for visiting us again this morning. Thank you, Lord, for telling us the truth, for breaking our hearts, letting us feel the sting and the shame of our sin so that we could confess it and that you could cleanse us of it and save us so we can spend eternity with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, as we leave here today, help us to ponder on these things, to meditate upon your word. And every day, and as much every day as we possibly can, focusing on you, drawing in closer, and becoming more obedient. Use us for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Are you happy to be a member of the family of God this morning? Amen. Let's sing about it.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God.
Amen. Have a seat.